Welcome back. Our next talk is with Myro Rufo's SMB CMP Improvements from Google Summer of Code 2019.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, if you can hear me, I will share my screen.
Yeah.
It's good now. Is it good? Everybody can see?
Yeah, we can see.
Okay, very good. So, hello, I am Myro Paul Rufus, and my accent is not that good. So, if you have any issues, you can stop me at any moment. I will repeat. So, welcome to this talk about improving SMB CMP, the Capture GIF tool. I work on this part of my Google Summer of Code 2019, and my mentor was Aurélien Abdel. Okay, William. I'm a final year master in computer science student at Polytechnic Yaoundé in Cameroon, and there are some of my social angles, GitHub and Mastodon. This talk is about an existing tool, yes, which has many links across the internet, which was presented at the Samba XP 2018. You have the links, SDC 2019 and LSEA 2020, and you can obviously view the repository on GitHub. So I will talk about what is the JSOC, briefly just explaining for those who don't know what is SMB CMP. I will briefly come back, and then I will take on my advanced and what I worked on during the Summer of Code, which is choosing another output of G-Shark, a GUI for SMB CMP, and porting it to other platforms. First, networking problems are hard to debug. If you watch talks about SMB CMP, the story, you will see that it's not that easy to actually spot where the bug is when a bug in Samba is reported. It can be in the client, it can be the server, it can be the network, it can be in the kernel, because Samba has a kernel module called CIFS. CIFS. Okay. No, so what is the JSOC? The JSOC is a global program for 18 years old student, 18 years plus years old student, and each student works on an open source project for an organization. And the organization assign a mentor to each student. At least one mentor, because some students can have more than one mentor in case of a problem of availability. And the program lasts for 3 months. So the coding part of the program lasts from June to August. You can find more at the official page of Summer of Code, which is summerofcode.withgoogle.com. What is SMB CMP? SMB CMP is a network capture GIF tool for SMB, which has some interesting features like support for encrypted SMB packets. It uses G-Shark in the background, G-Shark, the Wireshark Clay, and it operates in two modes. Single trace, where you only load one PK file, and GIF trace, where you load two traces side by side, and you have the GIF in the bottom, like you can see in the slide, the little screenshot at the right. First of all, the previous version of SMB CMP used the G-Shark test output, which you can view briefly with G-Shark with the dash V parameter, and that is what it looks like. And that is what the G-Sharks PGML, which you can access with dash T PGML, looks like. Basically, you have a top level tag, which is PGML. Then you have the packet tag, which denotes a packet. And inside the packet tag, you have the proto tags, which denotes the protocols. After the, in the proto tags, you have then the field tags, which can contain other field tags, which are the component of the protocols. And finally, we have the G-Sharks JSON output. You can access with that gjson parameter. And it's just a bunch of nested objects. So a packet is an object, and each protocol of the packets are objects, and each element of the protocol are objects in nested. You can have many nested level like that. So this is it. Now we had a choice to use another output, but why do we want to use another output? First, we want to make better and more precise diffs, because if you look at the text output, it's just a bunch of strings, and you can really operate semantically on those strings. For example, if I want to diff to text line, if only one letter change, the algorithm will just see that everything has changed. So it's a new line which is inserted. And that was not that great. And we have the possibility to add ignore rules. While parsing the text output, there wasn't really a way to know that this node is about a cryptographical algorithm, or I don't know. It's just something like you have the text and you diff it with another text and you see what will come out. So using another output like JSON and PGM or PGML, we can have a better sense of that. And speaking about more detailed output, with the text output, there are some elements that are missing. Like for example, you can't really know in the text output what is the cryptographical algorithm used. While it's an example of detail which is present, for example, in the PGML output. Okay. There is a compiled pros cons table for those new formats. And spoiler alert, we ended up choosing PGML. The pros are, it's XML based, and XML is a well established format since a couple of years. The standard library of Python has a C implementation of library for parsing XML, which is very good because it's fast. And the fields of the PGML are human readable with the show name attribute. Every field in the SMB has an attribute show name, which is human readable. There is one const I could find, one con. It's that there are many irrelevant information like post and size, which is basically the, I didn't look further, but it's the position, it's probably the indentation level. And okay. The JSON on the other side has some pros, no irrelevant information. In the JSON, everything is usable and used. And it's easier to parse because you don't really go out of the boundaries of Python, because it's built in, the dict is built in. Some cons, no summary lines, so you can't use JSON to navigate in the file. You have to use another output. And some fields are non-human readable. For example, if you take the SMB.negotiate context hash algorithm, instead of showing you an algorithm, it shows a hexadecimal value, which corresponds, which match certainly an algorithm, but for a human, it's not that practical. And the last issue, which is not really an issue anymore with recent version of Pythons, is that dictionary entries are not ordered. So when you load a JSON file, you can end up having a too much overhead just to keep the order in place. Okay. First try. So while which we ended up choosing PGML, like I said, now we had to address the diffing of the PGML. The first try was to look for an existing library, XMLDiff, which happens to also be a command line utility to diff XML files. And there is a good article from Stanford, the tool is based on change detection in hierarchical structured information. You can have the paper at the link, please. It offers an API, a very good API to use XMLDiff as a Python library, and you can choose many parameters to tune up the matching, the ratio mode, how accurately the similarities are computed. The more it's elevated, it's proportional to the speed, to the time it takes to process the information. And you have the fast match, which find a chain of matching nodes. That means that the problem with XMLDiff, I won't say the problem, it's the way it works, is that it takes one node and it compares it to all the other nodes. So you take the first node, go for every other node in the second XML tree. And with the fast match, you are more able to find a chain. So instead of taking one node and comparing to each node on the other side, you take a chain of nodes and you try to find another chain which matches the first one. And the formatter, which is the presentation of the results, you can present the results as another XML file, you can present the results as a text file, something like that. That's what it's inside the formatter. Then we faced some difficulties. And the first difficulties was that without fast match, it was too slow. Way too slow to be usable in a real world scenario. And with fast match, it wasn't really accurate. I will come back to it later. And there was too much noise because if you use fast match or if you don't use fast match, there are some differences that are highlighted that are not really relevant for our use case. And finally, the PGML structure wasn't suited to XMLDiff because the PGML, the core information for the PGML are the attributes inside the field tag. And an XMLDiff is more suited to compare the nodes directly instead of the attributes. So if, for example, I have a tag field and the attribute, I don't know, SMB2, and you have another tag at the same level in another file, which is field with SMB3, XMLDiff will highlight that as a node removed, and you remove the node and you had another node with SMB3. Even though it's just one character that changed. All that makes XMLDiff not reliable for to compute PDMLs that GIFs on the fly. So we had to come up with our own implementation, which is based on DFS, Depth First Search. And it came from a couple of realizations. We can take advantage of the structure of the SMB packet. On this same page, there is the SMB2 specification, which is quite long, but you can have a look. And this specification details many, many things. So the PDML of the SMB packet, it's not really just another XML files. It obeys certain rules, and you can take advantage of that if we implement our own thing. And we can use, ranging from that, we can use a simple heuristic. It's the command file of the SMB header. When you take the SMB header, there is a command file, the command field. The command field, if the two SMB header have the same command field, you doesn't have the same command field, it doesn't really make sense to compare the two, because the two have two fundamentally different packets. And in the detail of our implementation, if we stumble off a non-flat node, we just reuse dflib in this case when the command field is different. And by coming up with our own implementation, we had the possibility to expand with ignore rules. Like in a PDML file, I know that I will never use the signature because it's automatically generated by the system, by the client, the SMB client. I can say that ignore signature to avoid too much noise in my comparisons. Okay. Then we had to come up with a GUI. Why a GUI? A GUI because we have more control on the GIF presentations by using pop-ups, by using rich text, which is not really possible in the terminal like previously with SMB CMP. And most of the Python GUI toolkits are multi-platform. It means that you don't have to really write a specific code for that. It's already present. And to make it accessible for a wider audience, because people were always reluctant to use SMB CMP because it's a command line tool. I had to recommend it, but okay. Now, a comparison of some libraries that I found interesting for developing the GUI of SMB CMP. We ended up choosing WX Python, which is now labeled as Phoenix, because it had a good documentation, had a WYSIWYG, YZY, and it was native by default. So I didn't have to add some overhead boilerplate code to have native widgets. Okay. And it looks good, because if anyone in here had used Tkinter doesn't look good. Okay. And the same on Windows, basically. It's not that too different. Okay. Supported platforms, Linux. On Linux, we have a couple of advantages. It works out of the box. You don't really have to install anything else if you grab the binary. And Wireshark CLI needs to be installed. It's a dependency, but if you are analyzing packets, you already have it. And there are some optional dependencies we used to make the SMB CMP. First, LXML, which is faster than C elementary for our use cases. You can have a look at the benchmark of LXML. It's very, very interesting. And for our use cases, it was basically faster than the standard library implementation in CPython. And because we wanted to make SMB CMP as much as standalone as possible without the overhead for the user, we decided to make it as an optional dependency. And obviously, WXPython for the degree. During this project, I also fiddled a bit with the packaging for APM-based distributions. And it was really, really difficult. I ended up writing a spec file for OpenSUSE only because each APM-based distribution I come up with, I faced, had different guidelines for writing the spec files, and it was mainly a too manual work to begin with. And if the platform you are targeting doesn't really have a dependency package, you have to package it for yourself. So it's a repetition of work. So all this make the packaging very tedious, at least for me. On Windows, which was the main target, I recall, it's the GUI works out of box. So you just need the usual C#, because SMB CMP is based on C#. And if you want to install the CLI, you did some tweaking. But with WSL, you don't really have to suffer anymore, because it's basically a Linux kernel. Just install C# and you're good to go. But before WSL, we had to port somehow the CLI to Windows, and we did a couple of interesting tricks. You can see that. The first thing was to bundle a Wireshark build, stripping useless things. So we grabbed a Wireshark build from the website, a portable version, and we downloaded a Python build, the Python embeddable build also, the zip file, and we ended up writing a C program which launches the interpreter with the correct arguments to start SMB CMP. It was a self-contained archive, and you can find the result on the releases of SMB CMP. It looks like that. Very cool. macOS theoretically must be supported, but because we didn't have a Mac, we don't test anywhere. Okay. In retrospective, GSOC was a really good experience. I started to be familiar with the image-based open source development, and my mentor was great and always available. I had a couple of blogs, and he was always there to point me in the right direction. And the imposter syndrome. At first, I was like, "Wow, I can't do this," but finally, it turned out great. Okay, I prepared a little demo of SMB CMP. GUI for those. Yeah. So I'm not sure. Okay. I just okay. File manager. SMB CMP. Okay. GUI. Okay. The GUI. So I open the first capture. Trace. Okay. The first, like you can see that the first capture is loaded in the first panel. Now I open the second capture. Okay. When you, it basically acts like SMB CMP, but for the green, you can browse, then the, you can see the differences. Yeah, it uses the same algorithm as the first version of SMB CMP because it's faster. You can browse each, you can go down individually in each panel. You can do that for the same. Yeah. You can use the mouse, of course, if that one skip to you. Okay. Now we synchronize and you can search through the packets and you just need a partial match. So if I put it weak, I can find all the packets. And it's a circular search. So when it reaches bottom, it reaches bottom, it start again. There are a couple of options, like choosing another engine, the PGML engine that we develop in the during the sum of code. When you start another GIFs, it basically changes. And there is what happens. You can see that with the new engine, it doesn't appear now. If it's a field is modified, it doesn't appear like a just two different lines. It's the engine clearly state that the file anti status is just modified to status success, and you can even permute the two captures if you are more comfortable watching it from this side. Okay. And the last feature, because why not, it's changing the color. So I can just select this. I can also select this. I know. And the color changes because it can be cool. Okay. Now the follow-up, there is another utility developed by my mentor. It is currently a work in progress. It's the generalization of the SMB CMP concept, so side by side diffing to every protocol, so it doesn't to make it work not only with SMB. Thanks for listening. Is there any questions?
I think there aren't questions. But thank you very much for your talk. We will go now into a break until 5 p.m. German time.
Okay.